So this topic is the Lord's prayers, and we all know the Lord's prayers, right? It's written in the gospel, and it's written two times in two different places. The Lord's prayer. It's written in. Can you put the next page? It's written in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, and it came out in two different occasions. The first one in the book of Matthew is chapter 6. And let me give you a hint, is chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mountain. So it's in the context of the Sermon of the Mountain. And the Lord, in the book of Matthew, introduced the Lord's Prayer is, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray." And He started the Lord's Prayer. Okay? In the book of Luke, it's the other way around. The disciples came to the Lord and asked Him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." St. John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. "Teach us, O Lord, how to pray." So, the question came, and the Lord responded by the Lord's Prayer. What's unique about the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer is prayed by every Christian in the world. It doesn't matter what their denomination or their background. All the apostolic churches pray it, and all the denominational or non-denominational churches pray it. The Lord's Prayer is the prayer that the Lord dictated for in the Bible to be prayed. When He was asked what to teach us how to pray, He gave us the Lord's Prayer. So it's the prayer that the Lord gave us to pray from. The only difference in our church, in the Catholic Church, than other churches, is we added an extra verse at the end saying, "Through Christ Jesus our Lord," and then, "For thine is the kingdom," which is in the same Lord's Prayer. And the reason we added that extra piece, if you look in the book of St. John, chapter 12, 13, and 14, it's called the Gospel of the Paraclete, or the Gospels of the Last Sermon, or the Last Talk of the Lord with His Disciple. And in those Gospels, He said, "You have not asked anything in My name. Ask that your joy may be fulfilled." So, we added that extra piece, "Through Christ Jesus our Lord," because we're asking in the prayer through the name of the Lord Jesus, so it will be fulfilled to us. So, it's in two places, Gospel of St. Matthew and Gospel of St. Luke. And the contents are different. St. Matthew was a volunteer by the Lord. This is what you do to pray. And St. Luke, it's the Lord teaches how to pray. Okay? Next page. So, the Lord's Prayer is standard from the Bible. In both, there's minor changes in the both areas, but those changes are not any big difference. It's the same. So the Lord's Prayer is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Okay? So this is the Lord's Prayer that's written in both Gospels. So, by the way, I stole the slide from Abun Ibrahim from last year. So, the Lord's Prayer has 10 main points, or 10 requests in it. If you break it up, the first request or petition, we'll break into two pieces. The petitions to God and petitions from man. The first one is, "Our Father who art in heaven," we're addressing our Lord in heaven. "Hallowed be thy name," we're addressing the Lord. "Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we hear in the first half, we're talking to God. We're talking to God. And then the second half, "Give us this day our daily bread," things we want. things we want. If you notice in all the church or all the gospels, if you look, the Lord breaks up his benefits or groups into parts. One that we ask God, if you look at the, for example, the Ten Commandments, or to look at the fruits of the Spirit, the first part deals with God, the second deals with me as a human being. And you'll see that with everything the Lord does. Everything the Lord does. And the reason for that is, we are supposed to reflect the light of the Lord. The light of the Lord. We're not just following the Lord without reflecting His light. So that's why there's always two parts to everything given in the gospel. So the second half is, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts or trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And the last part, for yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. Okay, so we'll break them into two pieces. The first part we'll talk about is the first verse or the first section is Our Father who art in heaven. And in that statement, there is tons of meditations. If you read the book of His Holiness about meditation on the Lord's Prayer, or if you read the meditation by any father, at that word, Our Father, if we say it truly, it has a lot of depth and meaning into it. First of all, it's acknowledgement that we are the sons of God. The sons of God. But the word sons of God, not just being sons of God. To be a son of God, we have to act like our father. If you are a son, you have to act like your father. So when we acknowledge our Father who art in heaven, first thing is we have to act like the sons of God. We have to act like the sons of God. Second thing, we acknowledge God as our Father. And this acknowledgement by itself, we tie ourselves to heaven at this point. We tie ourselves into heaven. So we acknowledging... Sorry. I lost my train of thought. We acknowledge... when we say our Father, we're acknowledging that we are His sons, so we act like Him, like the Father. The second thing, when we say our Father, we are tying ourselves to heaven. Okay, we're tying ourselves to heaven, not just earth. What does that mean, tying ourselves into heaven? When my Father is in heaven, what will I be focused on? On heaven. I won't be focused on earth or earthly things. So by acknowledging the Lord as our Father, now I have to think of heavenly things, not earthly things. And heavenly things is like what? I want to get some feedback from you. What heavenly things should I focus on? There's nothing in heaven, right? So there's nothing to focus on?
God's love.
God's love.
Peace.
Peace. Praise. What else? Life of saints or sainthood?
No sin, no temptation.
No sin, no temptation. But sin, I am.
Comfort.
Comfort in heaven. Life of sacrifice. The Lord came from heaven and sacrificed Himself to save us. The life of sacrifice. The life of giving. Life of thanksgiving. Every time the Lord prayed, He said what? I thank you, my Father. So the life of thanksgiving. So once I tie myself into heaven, then I have to forget, or break the bond that I have with earth. I have to break that bond. And the bond on earth is materialistic things. Things that will perish. Anything that will perish. So, by just saying our Father, it has a lot of depth and a lot of meaning. So when we stand and pray, my beloved, we have to think of what we are saying and meditate on it. I remember a story I read. A priest walks into a church, and there's a custom when the priest comes in, they always go into the church and pray our Father at the door of the altar. Bow down and then pray our Father and then kiss the altar. A priest walks in and prays our Father and stayed for a long time in the church. So one of the deacons or one of the servants went to get him and he said, Ahuna, you stayed a long time. He responded and said, I just prayed our Father. Just prayed our Father. So praying our Father should be meditation and take your time in praying and understanding every word. It's not a speed reading or a speed memorization saying our Father. Because the word our Father has a lot of meaning and meditations on it. Who art in heaven? Who art in heaven? And this part by itself acknowledging the power that we have in heaven. The power that's under our control through God is in heaven. And this tells us by itself, our Father who art in heaven, that I am a heavenly person, not earthly person. It's the same thing, we're heavenly. But here at this point, we tie ourselves to heaven. And we are admitting our belongingness to heaven. Also, it brings our mind to the state Adam had before falling into sin. If you guys remember in the book of Genesis, after God created Adam and Eve, where did they live? Where did Adam and Eve live at the beginning?
In
the Garden of Eden. And what did they do in the Garden of Eden?
Eat.
Eat. Eat and sleep. It's like eat and sleep. What the hell?
They talk to God.
Huh? They talk
to
God. And they conversed with God. If you read the book of Genesis, God used to come and sit with them all the time. So they were in the company of God. So here when we say, our Father who art in heaven, we want it to go back to the first state that Adam and Eve used to be before falling into sin. Before falling into sin. Because the minute they fell into sin, there was a separation between heaven and earth, and also there was a separation between man and God. Not because God put the separation, but because man created that separation between us and God. I'll give you a simple example. When a person confesses, you'll see he's full of energy and willing to go and work hard in his spiritual practices. But when a person keeps sinning and not repenting or confessing on that sin, what happens? He goes into a lukewarm state. Not because God left, it's because I created a barrier between me and God. So I created a gap. So when we say our Father who art in heaven, we're asking God to eliminate this gap so we could be thinking on heavenly things. Okay? And here I picked the picture. Exactly this is the state that we wanted to reach. The state of me walking with God, literally. Me walking with God, literally. And it's achievable. And it is achievable. And if you read the story of Amb Abraham, Bishop of Fayyum and Giza, he died around 1915. Around that time. So not even 100 years ago. Almost 100 years ago. Sorry. Well, it's not even yet. It's still 2 more years. So even Amb Abraham, he used to sit and converse with the Lord. The Lord used to come and sit with him. And he used to be face to face and conversing. If you read his story, you will find that God appeared to him and he conversed many times. And before Amb Abraham, a lot of saints used to converse with the Lord. their sins in the wilderness, the Lord used to visit them and tell them, ask anything of me. So this shows how we could narrow the gap even on earth, and we could even be able to see the Lord and converse with Him face to face. It doesn't happen overnight, but it takes a lot of work, and trust me, it's a very rewarding thing to be able to sit down and converse with the Lord. Nothing on earth is worth that moment. Nothing on earth is worth the moment of you sitting and talking and conversing with God. Next slide, please. The next one is, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. What does hallowed? Holy. Honor. Okay. Holy, honor. Anything else? Anything? Hallowed be thy name is, let your name be glorified, glory or honored. But here's the thing. At that word, do I need to glorify God, or God is already glorified? No. That's a big mistake. God is already glorified. He doesn't need me as a human being to glorify Him. But here shows how God loves a human being, that He's given us the chance to glorify His name. God is already full of glory, and He's full of honor. Actually, the word holy in Greek, okay, the word holy in Greek is not God is holy. It's the one who is holy and gives holiness. See how we translate that word? The one that is holy and gives holiness. So if we translate that word, it comes to that. Basahna A, when we translated A, holy. But God is already holy and He gives holiness. So He doesn't need us to give Him the glory. But here, it's admission of us that His name is glorified. Hallowed be thy name. Let your name, my Lord, be glorified. And here, we could meditate for hours. Glorified in His actions, glorified in my life, glorified in everything around me. See the three aspects you could look at? Let your name be glorified in my life, glorified in your actions, God's actions, not my actions, and glorified in the things around me. So here the glory of the Lord is glorified. But sometimes we do not see that glory. Sometimes we do not see the glory. And the reason why is because we are limited. We're limited. Remember, I'll take you to the Old Testament. There was a young child in the temple, and he used to hear voices. He used to hear voices. Somebody calling him. And he used to get up and thinking it's Eli the priest. It was Samuel. But he was young and untrained. And then here we see Eli that was trained to hear the voice of God. He was trained. He was an older priest. And told him what? Go back, and when you hear the voice, say, speak, O Lord, and your servant, for your servant is listening. See the difference? Sometimes we do not see or feel the glory of God because we're not trained enough, or sometimes we do not want to see the glory of God. But here, we declare that God is glorified. So at this point, it's an our obligation to see the glory of God in everything around us. The glory of God in the good and the bad. Sometimes when we have bad things or we think they're bad, but it's for the glory of His name. I don't like to get involved in politics or speak about politics, but I'll say 2 years ago when the Brotherhood took control of Egypt, everybody was upset. And we said it's the worst thing that could happen to the country. And then, a few months ago, we said we said thank you God for getting rid of the Brotherhood. Sometimes God has plans that we do not see, and we may understand it after the fact. Now we said it's the best thing that happened, but when it happened we said it's the worst thing. Sometimes, because we're limited, my beloved, we do not see the goodness. But trust me, God does not do anything that is bad. Sometimes we think it's bad by our measures, but it's for the glory of His name. So, hallowed be thy name, God is be glorified. And I picked this picture because it has a story in the Old Testament. Who's in the picture? Anybody knows? Actually, let me give you something. This is an angel, and this is holding a tongue of fire. Huh? Isaiah. Isaiah said, "I cannot speak, my Lord," and he said, "I'll sanctify you." So, picked up charcoal from the altar and touched the mouth of Isaiah. So, this is some God is the one that's giving glory, Habib. God is the one that gives glory. Second, next slide, Habib. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Let your will be done. What does your kingdom come? Are we looking for what? The second coming? And that's the end of it? Or are we looking for something else? What does thy kingdom come mean? I'm looking bilingual. What does thy kingdom come? Just reading that part. What does thy kingdom come mean? I want to think what to think. John, Fadl Habib.
Is it the second coming?
I just said that.
Bring heaven to earth.
Bring heaven to earth. I want a little clarification. Bring heaven to earth. Yes.
I think it means we ought to bring God's kingdom here on earth by the way we live. So it's kind of like the kingdom is already here without it actually being here.
So we're supposed to help facilitate the kingdom of God on earth. And it's not here yet, but till it comes. Okay? Tony, how you get a hello to that spot?
That's a clue.
Yeah? Clue. Give us a clue. No, I'm just asking for feedback. There's no right or wrong answers. The kingdom come. The kingdom of the Lord. What is the kingdom of the Lord?
Like, I feel like it acknowledges that there's a heaven and that there's an afterlife.
Okay, we acknowledge there's heaven and afterlife. But what does the kingdom come? What would happen in the kingdom of heaven? Or what does what's the kingdom of heaven? That's the question. What's the kingdom of heaven?
Where God
there's angels,
it's God, and where all the angels are is throne and everything.
So everything except earth is not in the kingdom. I can't have both together. Okay, God, the throne of God, the angels.
So does it mean that when we finally are able to be reconciled with God and live with God the way that it was in the beginning?
Reconcile with God and live with God the way in the beginning. What's in heaven? What's in heaven? I want to focus on that. What's in heaven?
Saint Mina.
Who's greater than Saint Mina? I'm trying hard to let go.
Who's better than Saint Mina?
Saint George. Saint George. It will take a long time. What's in the kingdom of heaven?
The Lord.
God. God is in heaven. He's in the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom come. What do we want? The Lord. The Lord to rule over me and rule over everything I do. Thy kingdom come. I want you, my Lord, as you are in heaven, the King, I want you to be my King from now on earth. I want to do everything, my Lord, that your kingdom wants. And here, Bataman, there's a lot of meditations about the kingdom of the Lord. What does the kingdom of the Lord mean? Be the example of Christ. Example of Christ, sacrifice, obedience, accepting pain from others, being ridiculed by others, being spat upon, being hit, being beaten. All these things we want because that is the kingdom of the Lord. That's how we could reach the kingdom, with all these things. So as servants, it's not a promotion. It's a demotion. Service is a demotion, not a promotion. Sahajan? Big difference between promotion and demotion. Okay? Service may require that I have to step on my ego, on my plans, to do things to glorify God. Service will require me to be long patient. Be patient and long suffering. Okay? And all these things will help you, my beloved, to reach the kingdom of heaven. It's easy to take the shortcut or the easy way out. But the harder we have it, the better and bigger the crown. Saint George didn't get 7 crowns because he was tortured for a day. If you listen to the doxology of Saint George, we say what? 7
years.
Whole years. 7 whole years. And because he withstood for 7 years, he was given the title the Prince of Martyrs. So my beloved, it's the endurance. Endurance and the suffering. And I saw that flying, by the way. Okay? The endurance and long suffering is what makes us go to heaven. It's not easy. Sometimes you're going to have rough days. But trust me, the rough day will come with help from God. God will give you the help. Okay? Next slide, please. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, O Lord, let it be on earth. Whatever your will is, either I like it or I don't, it does not matter. But my Lord, I want your will to be on earth. And the will of God is to what? Everybody to be saved and united with Him. Okay? Everybody to be saved and united with Him. So whatever it takes to get to that will. In good ways, which horrible things, you understand me? Whatever it takes. If it requires that my brother, I have to go and step on my self-pride and apologize for my brother, even though he's at fault, then I'll do it. Even though he's at fault, I'll do it. It doesn't matter what I feel. As long as my brother will be better off, then I'll do it. Okay? But that does not mean I don't stand for the right thing. That does not mean I don't stand for the right thing. Remember His Holiness, Pope Shenouda? He was asked, you should permit divorce in the church. And his response, Pope Shenouda, by the way, all his sermons, I see him kind of calm and nice and jokingly and all these things. But in that instance, he was not calm and he was not jokingly, but he was clear. He said, nothing on earth will force the church to do anything against God's commandments. So, even though he's nice and funny and loving, at the point of he had to stand up for the right thing, he had to stand up for the right thing. See the difference? And they're all in the same personality. Okay? So, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Anything you ask me, my Lord, I'm willing to do it. Anything you ask me for the glory of your name, I'm willing to do it. And here I picked up that picture of who? The icon of who? Abraham and?
Isaac.
The Lord said to Abraham, 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 sacrifice your only beloved son. And what did Abraham do?
He almost did.
Yeah, he did, Yehovah. He did, but the Lord stopped him. It's not almost. He was doing it. But one thing that attracted my attention in this whole story, it said Abraham rose up very early in the morning to go sacrifice his son. Abraham rose up very early in the morning to sacrifice his son. And this is doing the will of God. Abraham doesn't want to sacrifice his son, his only son. That's the only thing he had. And he had him when he was 100. So he wasn't a young person. He's not going to have another son. It's too late for him. But at this point, he rose up early in the morning to go and sacrifice his son. Because God told him to do it. Same thing. Whatever God tells me to do, I have to do it. And that goes to, when it comes to service, whatever God wants from me in service, I'll do it. I don't pick and choose what to do for service. I do not pick and choose the children. I do not pick and choose the service. I don't pick and choose the children. I do not pick and choose what to do and what not to do. It's not a choice. Sometimes I have to follow whatever God gives me. And trust me, God does not give me something that I cannot handle. God gives me things that I could handle. And trust me, God will give me things so I could grow spiritually. Sometimes I see myself in situations where I wanted to build myself spiritually in one way or another because I see myself in the situation I'm in. So God is going to give us things to do that is going to benefit us. We may not see the benefit, but it is beneficial. It's beneficial. You know, I was reading some comments about servants. Servants tend to be long-suffering than normal people because they're so used to dealing with others and children. Servants are a little patient. They have more patience than others. Why? Because they have to deal with a lot of people and they have to be nice to them. So there's a lot of virtues we're going to build because of service. But that's if I do the will of God. If I pick and choose what I want to do, then it's not a service. And I'm not going to get any benefits. Because I'm picking and choosing, and more than likely, I picked the wrong thing for myself to grow spiritually. Okay? Next slide, please, Habib. Give us this day our daily bread. That's more than enough. And daily bread is not just food. There's two types of food that we have to get daily. The spiritual food and the physical food. The spiritual food is my spiritual practices. Give us, my Lord, our daily bread in spiritual and physical food. Both of them. And trust me, my beloved, spiritual food is very, very important. Very, very important. I do not step in service. I do not do anything unless I build up that spiritual food that I have. Spiritual food is my sitting down with God in my prayers, my listening to His Word in the Gospels and the Bible overall, my time humbling myself in Matanias to the Lord, and my fasting, the offering of fasting and controlling my body just for the glory of His name. That's very, very important, Habaybi, in service. A person does not build their spiritual food, more than likely their service will lack. More than likely, their service will lack. It will reflect in everything they do. Okay? It will reflect in everything they do. And one of the things I heard, anybody could fool, you could fool the whole world. But when it comes to service, if you're not spiritually built, your service will lack. What makes a successful service is the spirituality of the person. Okay? How dedicated to his spirituality. Not how high his spirituality is, but how dedicated to his spirituality the person is. And that will reflect on his service. And will reflect on a lot of aspects. I remember the strong servants that I knew from Egypt. The day before the finals, they're still serving God. Why? Because they know what's more important. And you'll see them successful in their service, successful in their physical life, like their work, whatever, their studies, their exams, in everything. Why? Because they put their spiritual food and they give their dedication to their spiritual life more than anything. The only thing that will put all the puzzle pieces into place is my spirituality. If my spirituality is successful, everything I do will be successful. But here, we ask the Lord to give us our daily, this day our daily bread. And by the way, if we look at the Gospel of St. Matthew, do not worry about tomorrow. Look, it's enough to be worrying about today. Okay? So always get the spiritual food, my beloved. Make it very important that your spiritual life takes priority in everything you do. Doesn't matter how important other things are, your spiritual life is number one. Your spiritual life is number one. In the Gospel I read today, in Ashaya, what would man give in exchange of his soul? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing a man could give in exchange of his soul. All the earthly riches is not do anything for exchange of my soul. My soul is more important, so I have to build my spirituality. That does not mean that the out of the bed and don't go to school and tell your parents I'm not doing anything because I'm worried about my spiritual food. That does not mean that. Because I have somebody told me that one time when I talked, when I was talking about something similar. No. That does not mean that. That means that you sacrifice your enjoyment, your video games, your texting, your TV and all that stuff, and they do your spiritual practice. That does not mean you have to make everybody around you suffer. Huh? That does not mean you sit home and don't go to school. That doesn't mean any of that stuff. It means you have to do everything. You have to do everything. But you sacrifice your enjoyment, your fun time for God. And what time are we supposed to finish?
Seven.
Okay. Next slide, Habib. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our debtors or those who trespass against us. There's no forgiveness for the one that does not forgive. There's no forgiveness for the one that does not forgive. If I don't forgive others, God is not going to forgive my sins. God is not going to forgive my sins. Same thing, if I do not overlook others' faults, God is not going to overlook my faults. See how that works? The way you measure others, you'll be measured. The way you treat others, the way you'll be treated. If I forgive people's sins and forget them, the Lord will forgive my sins and forget them. And this verse is not to be easily taken. That verse is not to be easily taken. It's very saddening to see people are upset at each other and still pray our Father and mention this verse. How can I be forgiven if I don't forgive? It does not work. If you want to be forgiven, my beloved, you have to forgive. And trust me, there is nothing worse than my sins. So all the things that people do to me is not worse than my sins. And to get my sins forgiven, I have to forgive them. It's a little price. Remember in the Gospel, the Lord said in one of the parables, there was a person that owed the king some money. So the king told him, time to pay up. And what did he say? Sorry and forgive me, I have nothing. So the king forgave him. And then that same servant went out, and actually, the numbers are very important. It was like 5,000 denarii, which is a wage of a lifetime, something like that. And then somebody owed him 500 denarii, which is nothing compared to the 5,000. 5,000 is you live all your life working, and you won't even pay that debt. See how bad that debt was? You work all your life and give everything to the person, and you're still not going to be paying it off. And then somebody owed him 500, he took him to the court, to the judge. And what did the king do? He took him and threw him in jail. Because the king forgave him a lot, and this servant didn't want to forgive a little. And look what the punishment was. He ended up in jail. Same thing, my beloved, if I don't forgive others, the little things that they do to me, I won't be forgiven. We have to live the life of forgiveness. Forget everything. Do not pay attention to things. Do not pay attention to bad things that's done to you. Saint Macarius was teaching one of his disciples, and he said, I want you to go to the cemetery. And I want you to praise every dead person in the cemetery. So he went and praised every dead person in the cemetery. And he came back and told his father, Abba Macarius, I did that. He said, did anybody do anything to you? He's like, no. He said, I want you to go back to the cemetery and curse everybody in the cemetery. So he did the same thing and came back to Abba Macarius. I told him I did the same thing. He told him, did anybody respond to you? He said, no. He said, I want you to be the same thing as the dead person. Do not be affected by praise and do not be affected by cursing. Why? Because if you're affected by either or, you will end up falling the trap of not forgiving others. You're going to fall in the trap of not forgiving others. Same thing, my beloved, you have to forgive others to be forgiven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this has two folds. Show our humility toward God, that we are still subject to fall into temptation, and at the same time asking God's power to help us during our struggles. Everybody has a spiritual struggle, no exception. Everybody has a struggle spiritually. They vary in types and shapes depending on the person, but how can we overcome by the power of God? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do you see that? Evil one. The devil. The devil is the root of all evil. It's not a person that's evil. It's the devil. Sometimes the devil uses people around us or situations around us to try to trouble us. But we ask the Lord to forgive us to deliver us from the evil one. Next slide, please. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. And where do we say that? For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I know that we say it in the Thanksgiving prayer, but I mean the Lord's Prayer. But where do we say that to now?
Holy Week.
Holy Week. What do we say to the Lord? Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, the majesty, forever. Amen. So we say that to the Lord that is what? Hanging on the cross. Okay? Why? Because He's God. He's God and deserving of all the glory. And since we're in the Feast of the Cross, I can't slip this one by and say the cross is the sign of glory, the sign of salvation, and the sign of power. The cross is the sign of power. The devil used to use the cross as a sign of curse, but look what the Lord do. He converted it from a curse to a sign of power. Only cursed people used to be hung on the cross, but the Lord converted the sign of the cross into a sign of power to overcome the devil. Okay? For thine, for yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. Any questions? Any comments? Any concerns? You all slept? Did anybody get anything? So next time, my beloved, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, pay attention to the words and think